beautiful, how proud it is that it flies with its white stars, red, white, and red and white stripes. The enemy hates it, but our soldiers the world over guards it. And we hope that in the future that it will continue to fly with its white stars and red white stripes. How beautiful and proud it flies. Enemy hates it, but our soldiers around the world protect it. How beautiful, proudly it waves. We hope that in the future it will continue to wave with its white stars, red white stripes. Yeah. one song that one of the Marines made up about the boys raising the flag on Iwo Jima during the Pacific campaign. That's a beautiful song.
You would like for this song to be accepted by the tribe as a fine song, right?
Well, I'm kind of hoping. I sang it here during the fair. One time.
Keep singing.
And then, of course, during the 4th of July here, last weekend, I sang it. Last year, I sang it at, in Gallup, also during the 4th of July. And the other time that I sang, I think it was back in 67, was the New Mexico State Fair. They had an Indian village there. And I was able to squeeze it in the program there at that time also. So then again, of course, for this spectacular event here, they sang it. So now I suppose with all the recordings that some of them probably want to play it over different areas. And I have several people that came to me, they would like to have a recording of the song so they can learn it and sing it.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the way with other tribes, you know, they like other tribes to learn their flags so they can, whenever they sing it.
The recordings would do a lot, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
When they begin to learn it and others sing it, then you're getting...
This is what they're doing, all these...
Every Indian is going to take the recorder.
You see, when they go to Palos.
I was surprised how many there were around.
They go to Palos, yeah. Well,
I wonder, from this standpoint of attracting tourists to the Navajo land, I was just wondering, Doris, if you might ask him a few questions about what is the most interesting attraction that one would find here.
Yes, that's a good idea.
A little interview, he would be willing, and then you could utilize this. What we would like is to have these things go so that more people will want to come for this tour that you've set up, you know, and these things. Now, we may have a little interview with Mr. Day and Mr. Moore tomorrow about the tour itself, the novel tour that they have planned. But a lot of people are coming also who won't be doing that. They'll be in their own cars, crossing through, and they will want to be stopping. Now, do you have any ideas if she were to ask you a question or two here and you put them down?
Well, I think, she came over when she first came. I go around different courts, which are kind of scattered around the reservation. The furthest west is the Tuba City Court. And then about the center area is the Chin Lee. And of course, this area, and then Shiprock up north here. And then Crown Point out east from here. So I kind of make all these rounds, and as I travel about, I'm always fascinated by the rock formations, you know, like Window Rock. Person could just spend a few hours maybe wander around. Of course, not climbing, they got restrictions to not climb rocks. But all these areas up this way, up along the mountain, of course, they have lakes too. A person may want to sit alongside the lake and watch these people fish and boat and so on. We have it all through here north of us. But the rock formation is really something all the way along the road. And then, of course, as you cut across up in the north section, you come into the Monument Valley area. There you have, again, all kinds of rock formations.
Thank you.
What would you suggest for a tourist
to see when he comes to the reservation? What do you think is the most exciting thing? If you would tell
well,
us
I
about
think,
the rock formation.
The most exciting, like I said, besides the rock formation on Neverland, which there are plenty of, the Canyon de Chelly, canyons itself, and as a person drive like north of Window Rock, or just the Window Rock itself, there's a lot of rock formation. Either way, the southern portion of our area this way, we have a lot of, she was quite fascinated by some of our formations of rocks down that way. And going north, we have, of course, the tribal sawmill, and around the area there is quite a scenic spots with all these evergreen trees, pinyon, juniper, cedar trees. In some places, you find some pine trees. Just really beautiful. We always say that, at least I always say that some of these Navajos that live around these areas really don't appreciate all this, you know. You ask them about it, oh, they're there, yeah. But some of these people that come from back east, they're really fascinated about it. I always see going east from Gallup, New Mexico, along Route 66, there's some big red rock formation. I always see some tourists standing on from the highway and taking pictures of these. So if they could only take the time when they come through our reservation, the Navajo land, I think that would be one of the real interesting things that these people from back east would find. Of course, then the other very interesting movement around the reservation would be these sheep herders. Again, they would find different persons. Sometimes they'd see an elderly lady all dressed up in her usual everyday attire, which is Navajo traditional clothing. Some cases, a real elderly lady just running along after her herd of goats or sheep. And then, of course, now during school out, you find mostly young kids herding sheep. And of course, the sheep are in varying size as far as the herds are concerned. Some are large herds, some just a few heads of sheep. Some are just mostly goats. And then other scenic views that they would find, this again, they wouldn't have to go off too far off the paved roads, are the Navajo dwellings, you know, communities. Sometimes it's a family, maybe two, three, four, five families living in one area. They would find some still living in hogans. These are some of the old traditional homes that they live in. There, if a person is interested in the very style of hogan, they would find it. Some are the old lean-to, some are various style of hogan, some are more or less modern, with modern roofing material over the top instead of the usual dirt roofing. So if a person is interested in this, they would find this very interesting and good for picture taking. And of course, the other interesting thing within our tribe would be the cultural aspects of the tribe. A person might just happen to come along during the summer, not too far off the pay. social. It's really curative type ceremonies, but the public is usually invited. They might find it's either the first night or the second or the final night of a skull dance. They can take the time out to go there and they'll find some activities there. Then, of course, in the wintertime, they'll most likely find a Yebiche dance. This is a 9 nights and 9 days arrangement, with the last 2 nights being climax and things, where dancers from all over the reservation, those that can come, they help out with the dancing. The last 2 nights, the last night, of course, being the mass dance. This is really something that people from other areas of the country always want to see. It's something that they don't find probably elsewhere, even for a show. So this being a ceremonial theme, and it's not performed in this particular way just for show purposes. This would be another time. Of course, these are just winter dances. And the summer dances, like I said, are the school dances. And of course, the last few years now, there's been a lot of rodeo activities also that a person would find pretty near every weekend. There's about 2, 3, sometimes 4 rodeo activities going on throughout the reservation. And sometimes in with these rodeos, they have some other activities, you know, like Indian dances and so forth. We always like to call them powwows. Of course, powwow is something else. Just more recently, the Navajo people have gotten interested in this area of they call it Indian entertainment. It's a social event, really, where people come from all areas of the reservation. Some even from other parts of the states. In this case, the 4 states, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. These people that more or less follow these powwow events, they would come great distance to come to one and take part, dance, or sing, or just sit around and visit. This is what they like to do. So our narrow people have gotten the hang of it. So they usually invite other tribes to come in and help them out and stage something of this nature. So this also might be something that they might come across on Saturday or Sunday or Friday night if they happen to come through the Navajo land. Then outside of that, of course, we have within our reservation the Hopi tribe. And they have their special dance. Of course, they're not scheduled like some of our Navajo people do. They just happen to stage some of their either ceremonial dances or social dances whenever time permits, more or less their own selected time. The medicine man, whoever is to perform it. But each year, the month of August, usually about the latter part of August, they have snake dances. This is something that they don't perform often, and this certain year, part of the year, they do this. And this is usually quite interesting to see also, you know, by our tourists that come from other parts of the country. course, when they do come on, even to watch any Navajo activities, they have to respect what they're doing there. Otherwise, these people would take note of it, and they may use some of their method to escort these non-Indians off the area or off the premises. Sometimes they don't allow picture taking or more recently tape recording to record some of the sacred ceremonial songs. I know the Hopis are pretty strict on that, as well as some of the other Pueblos around through Route 66. You find some of the 18 Pueblo. Laguna is one just off east of Grants and Alcamita. Those people, most of them just don't allow picture taking or tape recording of any of their songs. So these are some of the things that they have to be careful of. And of course, while they're watching their dances or any of their activities, they would have to, like I said, be respectful of what they're doing. Not go nosing around like some people would say. They always like to caution the tourists not to go charging around all over their premises. They appreciate having these people there, you know, and all that, but they, at the same time, they like to have them give some respect to whatever they're doing at the time. Other than that, I think just visiting some of the people, either along the road, the sheep herders, trading posts, we have this a whole lot of them throughout the reservation, whether the Hopi land, Navajo land, or around the border town areas. These trading posts, they're just something out of this world. Of course, they've been with the people for so many years. Tourists usually find just an abundance of turquoise, silver rugs, and other Indian artifacts that these Indians either have pawned or they're there for a purpose. They would like to take a look at these things, and here they would find a collection of a lot of articles that were made by the local people. Then, of course, we have Navajo tribe have their own tribal enterprise, one of which is the arts and crafts that are located conveniently along the route. Here, the tourists can buy rugs, silver pieces, jewelry, pottery. They also carry other tribes like the Zunis and Hopis. And of course, through Hopi land, they can find all arrangements of their arts and crafts. So this there's really a lot here if a person can just take the time. Of course, if they just want to zip through, they won't find too many. But all they could see is probably some barren spots along the route. Most of these roads are, for some reason, seem to be designed to go through some of the more desert-like areas. I suppose the engineers designed it that way. But off these paved roads, of course, tourists have to take the risk of taking a dirt road where they want to, like, up in these mountain ridges, or if they want to go visit a Hokan that's located a couple of miles off the paved road, they have to take the chance of getting stuck in the sand, or if it rained, well, it'd be possibly run into a mud hole. But rain, they don't have to worry about rain. We're now in one of the drought, very serious drought season. This comes, it appears like as a pattern every so many years. It comes around, and the stocks of the people seem to suffer a lot. Of course, they can. This year they're planning on auctioning off a lot of the sheep and horses and cattle, so that the few that they save will survive with whatever feet they have. But just whatever little rain, moisture that comes down, this helps the stock a lot. Kind of restore some of the dried up reservoirs around the area. So there is a lot to see and a lot of places to visit. A person can, like I said, just take the time. Of course, if they're just cruising through, they still can stop at some of these spots that I've mentioned.
I think that does it, don't you?
Yes, that's a nice
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.